Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Naked Englishman podcast. I'm Richard Vobes. I think it's the 23rd, I'm guessing, because or is it the 22nd? It's a Friday, whatever that is. And of course, the date will be on the thing of May 2026. I can't believe that May has gone. Been a very fast month in many ways. It seems that it was only April a day or two ago. Quite bizarre. Time is travelling very swiftly. I don't know if you feel that effect, that the years are spinning quicker than normal. But of course, it could just be that as one progresses in age, in the amount of years that you are on this earth, that time changes its perspective and seems to race along. As somebody in their early 60s, one, I suppose, doesn't always know how long you've got left on this earth. I always have concluded that I would live to 100, that seemed a sensible lifespan. And you hear people who say, when they're getting into their 60s, 70s and 80s, that of course, because they don't know how long they've got left, time just seems to be more precious. And I think that's true, of course, it is precious. When you're young, you're not giving it the consideration. You think the sun will always be there, you'll always wake up, there will always be the bird song, and life will go on forever. And, of course, in this realm, I mean, many of us have the notion that life does go on forever, but very differently. And of course, we're talking about the life in the body, in the ego, the character that you've been put onto this monopoly board of life, you know. And how long have you got left? And I remember my mother was keen for it to be over. Towards the last 10, 15 years, she often said, "I just want to die." She wasn't very well, and I can understand that. She was an alcoholic, and she drank pretty much most of her, the second half, I suppose, of her adult life. Let's not be disingenuous to her. I love her very much and miss my mother, despite the issues that we had. But she often said she wanted to die. Now, I, of course, was in my 30s and 40s at the time, and I couldn't understand this notion. I kept saying to her, "But Mum, there's so many things to do in life. There's so many things, you know, you need an interest." But she wasn't interested in having an interest. So, and she read a lot of fiction, for which I am grateful, because she's always been somebody who enjoyed reading, and I believe that's where I get my notion of reading. And my dad would read, but not to the extent, not so much fiction. Although I think he was well read at school. I think he had a grueling schooling, as they might say, or as I've just said, a grueling schooling. Back in the, whenever it was he was at the school, in the late 40s, 50s, I suppose. But, yeah, she didn't have, you know, she didn't have the will to go on, bless her. So, and you think, well, you're missing out, and I can understand that some people get like that. They've done all they can, their body is weak, they don't seem to help themselves, perhaps they don't believe there is any help. And I think that's certainly been, I'm just lighting my pipe, or just getting my pipe together, hence all these extra noises. I think people have believed that the old, you know, 3 score years and 10, and that's your lot type thing. And I think people get to a point where they sort of, they've done everything. My mum used to do a lot of travelling, So I would say, well, why don't you go do some more? I've done it. Done it. Why don't you, anything that I suggested that she'd previously been interested, I've done it. I've done it. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. She basically given up. And I can absolutely accept that there comes a time where perhaps you do get pissed off with being alive. You just want to go. It's too many troubles. And these days, our society has made living very difficult for people with rules, regulations, and of course the continual demand and worry for money, that if you don't do this you'll get fined, if you do this it's going to cost you this much money, the threat of somebody banging on your door. What kind of society are we living in? A society that is not clearly presided over by people who wish people to thrive. And again, I mean, this is a continual message that I spout, and people get very upset with me with it, I think. But I think that's because mostly they're blind. But the world, it seems that the system in the world is not conducive. Because you could think of a system that was far more conducive, could you not? I mean, for one thing, why do we meddle in other people's affairs and to send people to war? I mean, that's clearly to me is what is the thing about that? And people will say, but we rely on the resources. We rely on those minerals, the extractions of oil and various things. We couldn't do without it. And I suppose you could then argue those people with the oil need those people who haven't got the oil to be ordering it. The sad part is that the globalization has nobbled people. Nobbled them in a way that we now have come to a lifestyle that is so reliant very often on things that are not in this country, or is too expensive for us to get into this country or extract, and we no longer like ourselves are self-reliant. We've got so used to having everything, we're having it all, but then if somebody says, well, actually I want a bit more money for this, or you can't have this as readily as available, or we've got the switch to turn that off if you don't give us more money or you don't do this or whatever the political measure is, then we're unable to say, well, on your bike, mate, we don't need you. And I think we've lost that ability to be reliant on ourselves, to stand up for ourselves and to do our own thing and never mind everybody else. They said, well, we'd be a backward country. We'd be a backward country if we don't have all these things. And I don't know, look at some of these so-called backward countries and look at what to me is important in life. Families, growing your own food, eating healthily, not working for huge hours of the day, enjoying yourself, singing, dancing, thriving, the kind of reasons that you might actually be on this planet for, raising your consciousness, being one with your fellow man, smiling, laughing. Those things seem to me to be much more important than having huge amounts of oil, being able to travel up and down the motorway to work, to having a Netflix or Amazon account, buying endless materialistic things that end up in landfill. It seems to me that sometimes when you actually examine these so-called third world countries, these perhaps tribes of different nations, that their lifestyle may be simple and harsher than we would give credit to or think was sensible, but in their heart of hearts they appear to be happy. And it seems to me a lesson to us in the West, who are greedy, selfish, grasping at everybody else's minerals and things, wanting the very best, needing, requiring, insisting, and not suffering or any of those things, and then imposing our ideas and thoughts on everyone and the next generation, of course. And now we have the advent of digital revolution, of facial recognition, of CBDCs. Is it CBDCs? Central bank digital currencies. Money, digital money, surveillance, more and more legislation, more and more permission from an authority that has not the legitimacy of the nation. I don't know who's in a better position to enjoy life. Life has been taken for granted, hasn't it? We assume that this is the only way you can live in the West. It suits them, it suits the system. They know where you are, they know who you are, they know they can extract money from you, they know they can tax you, they can promise you stuff and never deliver. It's a system that suits them, those that have managed to wheedle their way in some sense of power. But does it actually suit real everyday people, people who live, people who want to live, people who do not want to have to get up at the crack of dawn and then travel to a meaningless job for hours and come back exhausted with bills to pay that arrive that day? That does not seem like a sensible thing. And after 60 odd years of watching, examining, exploring and thinking, I have not changed my mind on that front, that the Industrial Revolution in many ways has been a bad thing for mankind, for it has tethered us to a lifestyle and to a work that has lost its moral code and its ethics. One of the things that I am exploring and understanding and enjoying at our little piece of land is the whole business of existence, of growing something from a seed, of clearing a small area so that you could do that, of sitting in the sunshine, as I am this morning. It's blue skies. Although, of course, you know, the sky menace is up there putting their checkerboard of white lines up, ready to get rid of the sun as best they can. But I am enjoying looking at the plants and the little flies and bees and butterflies and hoverflies and whatever in the early morning light, the buttercups which are abundant here, and the grass that glistens in the stillness of this early morning. It was about 6:30 when I started recording, something like that, or towards 7 o'clock anyway, and already the sun is very hot and luscious in that heat and generous in that morning heat. I know we're coming into a bit of a heat wave, I think, for the next few days. I say bring it on. I hope that people have got enough reserves in terms of food and water, for I feel we'll be challenged with that. For those that we put in charge ought to be ensuring not spending money on wars or unnecessary infrastructure for facial recognition, but should be spending money on reservoirs and place and all the necessary basics that we have come used to relying on keeping the streets clean and things like that. If a government really wanted people to pay their taxes without question, then they are going about it completely the wrong way. For people want peace and they want basics. They want clean water. They want reliable access to water. They want quality food that doesn't make them ill. They don't want to be duped. They don't want people behind the scenes pretending something is good for you when it is not. People don't want to have to worry about what's in the boxes that they buy at the supermarkets. They don't want to concern themselves with whether the water or the air is adulterated with toxins. They want a government that is there for them. And if only a body of people were able to get into power and knock out all this other rubbish that we have to deal with, the legislation that if you travel a few miles over a certain speed limit, you then have to pay extortionate amounts and have points and things. Instead of bashing people, incentivize them. Incentivize people to drive more carefully. Don't bash them over. No one on most of these infringements, what a stupid word, these offences in which people are offended, I suppose, by them. Nobody is hurt on the majority of them. Nobody is injured, and nobody has been, things have not been stolen from them. There is no loss and there is no injury. And yet we are evermore having to ask permission. Encourage people to be good people, not having to weave round the system, break the system, break the law. Help people more, be friendly, be personable. The system should be, ought to be, must be there for the people, not for those who are serving the people or their masters above them. And this greed, this continual Darwinian fighting of the fittest, must come to an end. The idea of competition continually, that you must win, that you must carry on, that we must keep progressing. We don't need to. What we're missing out on life. We're missing out on being. We need more and more to be in the moment, to appreciate those wonderful things that we have, the wonderful things that nature gives us. We don't need this continual greed for money. A money that is just an idea more than anything else. These pieces of paper, these digital numbers, represent really very little these days, because you can't cash them in for something other than trinkets. You know, you cannot go where it says on the piece of paper, "I promise to pay the bearer the sum of." You go to the Bank of England and say, "Well, I've come for £10 of sterling, please, because I have this promissory note that promises to pay." They will not let you in. They will laugh at you and say, "No, that's not what it's about. I believe somebody did it," and they went to the bank and they said, "I would like my £10, please. Here's my promissory note," offering them a £10 note. And what they handed back was a new £10 note. Still just a piece of paper, not the £10 of sterling silver that at one time it represented, but of course it's come off the silver standard and the gold standard, and it no longer represents wealth at all. It is just faith that we have that somebody will actually accept a piece of paper in lieu of a real thing, like a bag of potatoes. Let's light the pipe. Sorry about the delay in speaking there, a little bit of sound effects for you. This pipe is a funny pipe. It's nice to look at, but it doesn't ever draw properly. And it's noisy, too. I like the look of it, and it's nice in my mouth, but it's I don't know what's wrong with it. The drawer is not properly aligned or something. Anyway, there you go. I believe more and more people are beginning slowly to wake up to a life that they ought to be living, and not having these 3 score years and 10 or whatever subjected and thrown away for the imaginary pursuant of happiness through work and taxes. We need so little in life. And we need so little to be happy. The illusion is that we need more and we have to fight for it or work for it. The illusion is we must obey the corporates and buy their stuff and listen to their adverts and be influenced by education systems. But those wise enough to see through the mockery of all of that will realize the way to happiness is to turn one's back on all of those and understand who and what you are. And what nature really is, and listen to your soul, and be who and what you really should and are, which are two very different things. And I applaud anyone who is following the second of those pursuits, rather than the let's get enough money to live on an island with a yacht. Thank you for listening, and I will talk to you soon. Goodbye.